Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I wasn't even going to bring this up, Raven, because I felt like you would judge me on it.
Oh, boy.
But then when I saw that Olivia Rodrigo said it too, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not the only one.
Yes, you and Olivia Rodrigo are clearly the same person.
Well, no. So Olivia Rodrigo has the biggest song in the country right now, Driver's License. But anyway, she was saying that her celebrity crush right now, that she's crushing hard on Pete Davidson. And
what?
Yeah.
I did see that. That is a bit surprising.
I don't know what it is, because for years I've watched him on Saturday Night Live and I never found him to be very attractive or anything like that. I thought he was funny, thought he was talented, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and sometimes that's questionable, right?
But he's got that movie that came out on HBO, The King of Staten Island.
Right.
And I watched that movie and about a half hour into it, I go, wait a minute, Pete Davidson is hot. When did Pete Davidson get hot? Because that's not really my style. It's not really my, like, I don't know, quote unquote type, if I even have a type anymore at this point. But there's something very incredibly attractive about him, an unconventional attraction that I had to him. And I was like, huh, yeah, he's unconventionally hot, I've decided. And I'm with her.
Do you think it's like a confidence thing? Do you think it's, I mean, because he certainly has that, right? To be a performer, you need to be. And a lot of those comedians kind of exude that. At the same time, they have this strange vulnerability too.
Well, for me, it's always been like when I had a celebrity crush, it wasn't always about their looks more as it was the way that they carried themselves, their talent, whatever it was.
Okay.
So like for me, you know, I always thought that Green Day, Billy Joe, when I was growing up, oh my
gosh.
Strangest
thing.
Who is your celebrity crush now versus when you were a kid?
Well, I mean, I would have to say now at this point, I really like Lady Gaga. Katy Perry was my girlfriend for a while, mm-hmm. but she decided to get married and have herself a baby, and you know, I'm happy for her and all that stuff. So Lady Gaga, I just think that she's always so put together. She handles herself well for the most part. Sometimes she opens her mouth a little bit too much, but for the most part, I'm good. The meat dress, as long as that stays in a closet, Lady Gaga is a good choice for me.
How about when you were growing up? Who was your celebrity crush when you were a kid?
Oh, well, I can remember being 8 years old vividly and thinking that call sign Charlie from Top Gun was wicked attractive. But she was old enough to be my mother, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I remember a couple times on the show, you remarked that when you were younger, you also had a crush on Ariel from The Little Mermaid.
That's right. That's true. She was one of my first girlfriends.
Which seems a little strange since she's an animated character, but I guess when you're 8 years old, it's fine.
Yeah. Aladdin. Also, I dated Jasmine for a bit.
Right.
You know, those early relationships, they teach you a lot about life. Like, you know, with Ariel, it was like, okay, seafood and living under the sea and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Jasmine, it was like flying and dirt, you know, sand.
Okay, but it's fine that you had crushes on them when you were 8, but you can't have crushes on them now that you're 45 years old, because that's just strange.
So says you.
Raven picks them. It's 3 big news stories from this week, but you really only get to hear about one, and Raven actually gets to pick which one it is.
It's the best.
Raven, you ready for today's choices?
Sure, what do you got?
All right, number one, a woman's DNA test unearthed that her father is on the FBI's most wanted list.
Of course it did. Everybody knows that they're doing that to find out who you are.
Number two, man attacked by turkey during mating season.
Oh boy, that sounds dangerous.
And number three, McDonald's is testing AI technology to take drive-thru orders.
I already love the Terminator movie, so I'm cool with that. Like, give me the man attacked by turkey.
Okay, so a Missouri man, he had a run-in with a tom turkey. It turns out that right now it's goose and turkey mating season. You should be warned if you were not aware of that.
Here's the thing about turkey toms, too. If you didn't know, man, they are aggressive.
Yep. And this guy, Evan Travers, he was filling a bird feeder near a flock of turkeys, and then he started getting chased down. Here he is.
Next thing I know, it really fluffs its feathers up and gets big, and it starts coming towards me. And my first thought was, I'm going to get big and maybe scare it off. What do I know? It just keeps coming, so I turn and just run. And I quickly look around to see if any of my neighbors are seeing the idiot being chased by a turkey.
It happens. turkeys are aggressive.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They're not afraid of your car or anything like that. If you ever try and drive through a bunch of turkeys, I don't mean at speed. I mean very slowly.
No, it happened to me.
You just try and get you know, goose them along, move them along the street there. They don't tend to take well to that.
No, I got swarmed by turkeys, and I was just stopped. And, I didn't know what to do because I'm like, I'm not going to hit these turkeys. And I just sat there for like, I don't know, 10 minutes until a car came up behind me and started honking the horn.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't think to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you didn't want to jar anybody. You figured if you were polite, they'd be polite. But that's not the way it works out.
I like that he tried to make himself big. Like, you know, like when you encounter
a bear.
Well,
that's what they say when you're a bear, right? Hey, bear. Right. Hey, bear. And that's usually, you know, something that will work. But apparently a turkey is like, that's my girlfriend.
Are you talking serious right now?
Yeah. You want some of this? Like, let's do this, bro.
You think you want to make yourself big? I'll make myself big.
Right.
Turns out what you actually should do.
It's best to keep your distance for your own safety and for the sake of the animals, too.
Yeah, but that doesn't tell you what to do when they actually decide to attack.
Wait a minute. So this guy had a traumatic experience with turkeys. Did they take him back to a turkey farm for an interview? Because it sounds like he's surrounded by turkeys in this clip here.
I guess. I don't know. I remember Paul, my husband, we were at a nature museum, and he got attacked by a peacock.
Wow.
And it was me and my oldest daughter. My little one wasn't around yet. Hmm. And we were dying laughing until we realized, oh, no.
No, it's serious.
This is serious. Yeah. And he's like, it's all of a sudden he thought he was doing like kung fu. He's like trying to karate chop and he's like trying to
the
dodge
bird or your husband?
My husband.
Okay, good.
All right. But I realized like he's not trying to be mean and he's certainly not trying to be funny. Well, he's trying to escape the grasp of the peacock.
Here's the thing. You never look cool if you punt a peacock.
Never.
All right? You're never going to look good if you're like, no, he was asking for it, and you sock a peacock in the mouth. Mm-hmm. You're never going to look. It's like stepping on a toddler on a wedding dance floor.
Can't
like,
do that.
You know the kid isn't supposed to be there. You know that you've had a couple scotches, but yet you're not going to look good if you step on that kid.
Interesting side note.
Yeah.
Peacocks with the beautiful flower tails.
Yes.
Those are the guys.
Oh, yeah. No, they do that for that's how they court. That's how they attract the ladies.
That's how they distract you before they attack.
Right.
That's what they do.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You see people doing questionable things all the time. And even though you don't know anything about them, you're like, yep, that's all I need to know about you.
Sometimes that's all it takes, a little bit of deduction, right? I mean, you're a human being with experience. I'll tell you what, Anna Zapp.
Mm-hmm.
If you mail it in once I say basic on the pedicure, that's all I need to know about you.
What?
His and hers, Manny Petties this week for my wife's birthday. And, you know, I didn't want the green tea scrub this time, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want the paraffin wax treatment because that's like a little bit painful but also joyous.
Yep.
Just wanted the basic. Mailed it in. Mailed it in on the scrubber.
I have always found it incredibly odd how much you enjoy manicure pedicures as a manly man that you are. Now, listen, all the power to you.
Hey, it's nice that you call me a manly man because I am a bit manly.
You are. You're like a guy's guy.
Yep.
So I find it funny that you roll into the nail place and then they show you the menu.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I want the basic. But it's
true. I know the menu. They don't even have to show it to me. I know the menu. So.
My husband, he has walked into a nail salon, I would say, once a year, and it's to buy me a gift card.
Oh, man. I tell you what, if we were ever on vacation together, that's where I'm taking Paul. I'll take him to the spot because once he gets one, that's going to be it.
His teeth, his feet are funky. It wouldn't be bad.
I mean, if he goes, like that's going to be it. It's the best money you can spend, really.
But it is true. Like the minute you're like, no, like I'm in a rush today. I just want the basic.
Yeah.
They got you in and out in 10 minutes.
Pumice stone, right? You know, they got the scrubber or whatever. They're like, they're asking you as they're scrubbing and they're giving it a good scrub, a vigorous scrub for the minute. And you go, no, just the basic today. And then they're like, they scrub it like two more times.
That's it.
And then that's it.
It goes back
in the cup and it's over.
You don't want the massage? You don't want to pay extra for the 10-minute massage? Forget it.
Let me know if this towel's too hot.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's funny. If you're the nosy neighbor that waits for the kids to be outside so you can ask what's going on inside the house, that's all I need to know about you.
Wait a minute. So you're interrogating the neighbor's kids to find out what their parents are doing inside?
No, it's the other way around. Listen, the minute you either put up A, a for sale sign outside your house, or B, like what's happening in my case, you put a dumpster in your driveway.
Right.
All the neighbors start coming around. I haven't seen these neighbors in months.
They want to know about your project.
All of a sudden, I look out the window because we have a dumpster in our driveway. We're redoing our kitchen. It's like a dream come true.
Right.
And
you're 3 days in, man.
I forget it.
You better really, you better relax yourself.
I'm already tired of construction.
So they come over.
So, but all of a sudden, every time I look out the window, I'm like, hey, look,
Where are all these people? They start walking their dog 17 times to my house, right. Start peering in the window, but nobody says anything to me. Hayden, my oldest, was outside playing with my toddler,
yeah.
And as she came in, she's like, I was talking to her, and she's like, Mommy, she's like, four of the neighbors asked me what we were doing. I go, it's so funny that all I need to know about, you waited till the 12-year-old was outside to be like, hey, what's going on inside your house?
I guess kids are just used to being interrogated by adults when they're walking by,
yeah.
Right?
Right, they're like, yeah, no, we're redoing the kitchen. And
right.
Then, yeah.
You answer me. You're clearly half my height.
She says to me, are we doing granite countertops? I go, who asked you that, Hayden? Who asked my 12-year-old that?
Right.
That is all I need to know about you.
It's that silence that I love because it's so rare. What do you do when you get to be home alone? 1-800-330-9999. You could call or text. Between the kids and my husband working from home now, alone time is very rare. But when you get it, oh, yeah, Raven, it's on.
You're stepping into your own zen, your beautiful place.
Yeah.
Your sanctuary.
Mm-hmm. And on Saturday Night Live, they did a skit about what women like to do when their husbands go out.
What is it?
I have the whole night to unwind.
And do a little self-care.
I'm gonna watch a murder show, I'm gonna watch a murder show. Netflix, Showtime, HBO, and Daylight, murder show.
I thought this was just me. I never get to watch what I want to watch on TV. So the minute that like they're all out and I'm by myself, I'm like, murder shows, Dateline.
Is that what you watch?
Oh, yeah. I want to watch, like if there's a cruise ship involved.
Right.
Right? And they've
some sort of murder at sea or something like that?
Oh, I am 100% there for it. Oh, I just love it. All of a sudden, I become a detective trying to figure out who it is, that.
My wife and I watch a lot of those shows, too, right? ID Network, man. It's the jam.
Yeah, but I can't watch it when my 2-year-old wants to watch Cocomelon. Or whatever dumb shows on Netflix that she's into right now.
Killer Neighbors or, Broken, Killer Siblings, any of those things. Those are no good when she's home.
Top five things that people say they do when they get to be home alone. Their spouse is out, kids are out. Number one, just that. Watch a movie or binge watch TV Netflix series.
Yeah, yeah.
Number two, dance.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can dance with the other people at home.
Yeah, but
wouldn't
you can't.
Nice?
You can't like bust it out. Well, yeah,
you
I
can't
mean, I
dance
you
like
can.
Nobody's watching you.
Well, if they're watching, you can't dance like nobody's watching.
I guess.
Sing your heart out. Okay.
All right.
Window shop online. I actually do a lot of online shopping when I'm home. It's like I crack open the laptop and I get in bed.
Right.
So what I like to do is because I've never, when do you get to hang out in bed? Not at my house anyway. I get in bed and I nap with my laptop and then I shop online when I wake up in between naps.
You wake up and you see that you still have four windows open. You're like, okay, I'm ready to make that purchase now.
And then call a friend that you haven't talked to in a while. I do that a lot too.
Okay.
I know you get very excited when Alicia is going out for the night and you get the whole night to yourself.
It's me and the dogs at that point, right? So me and the dogs, we're going to wrestle for a while. We like to do that. And I do that, obviously, when she's home, too. But, like, it's, when it's just me and the dogs, we all get a little bit rougher. And the dogs know when mom's out. Like, they can get away with certain stuff, too. So they'll ask me for more treats. So there's more food for all of us, for the three of us.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody over my shoulder going, do you really think you should have that, too, now, also?
Yeah.
I watch all my Alaska shows. So whether it's Gold Rush or Survival or something, I'm watching all of them.
Yep.
Yeah, so if it involves something with skinning a squirrel or some sort of survival tactics or whatever, I'll watch those. And then anything scary, too. She doesn't watch scary movies. Mm-hmm. So she'll watch, like, the murder mystery stuff, but she won't watch, like, any paranormal stuff. And aliens? Forget it. Forget it. I don't think my wife's ever watched a Star Wars film, ever.
Mm.
Ever.
I know that Alicia, Raven's wife, is going to be gone because he starts listing all the things he's going to eat that night.
That's right.
That he's like, all right, I'm going to get two burgers, maybe two steaks, and then I'm going to have an entire liter of Coke, not Diet Coke. I'm going to drink the whole Coke, and I'm going to drink it out of the bottle.
Yeah.
I'm like, Raven, she's going to get her hair done. Like, relax.
We make a movie marathon list and everything. The dogs get to sleep wherever they want. It's great.
Top three things that people say they do when they get to be home alone. That means the spouse is out, the kids are gone, and you get that precious alone time. Number three, shop online. Absolutely, all the time. Number two, dance and sing your heart out. And the number one thing people do is binge watch movies and shows they can't watch when their significant other is home.
Well, that's the thing. It's really nice to not have to consider somebody else's feelings.
Yeah.
Take into what account what it is that they want to do or whatever. Just be completely selfish for yourself. So I get that.
I take a nap in my bed. That's my big thing, because you could never do that in the real world when the kids are around and the husband's around. And I just crawl into bed at like whatever time it is, 4 o'clock, and take a nap.
I take a nap with dogs all over me.
Mm. What do you do during your alone time when you're by yourself at home? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I eat dessert. It's not so much my husband that I have to hide it from, but more my kids. I don't let them eat a lot of junk, so I have to hide at 5 scoops Reese's peanut butter cup Sunday, so I don't look like a hypocrite.
Yeah. Well, that is dirty, man. That is straight dirty. But I'm with you. I would do the exact same thing. But that is dirty.
I would 100% do the exact same thing.
I mean, I do it when my wife is in the other room. That is dirty on your kids.
Hi, it's Anna. I'm Raven. What do you do when your spouse isn't home?
Whenever my husband goes out with the kids, I use our 70-inch screen to do a YouTube workout. I can never do it when they're here. It's too crowded. And then I can have my zen, my peace, and also get my ab workout on when they're gone.
My wife doesn't like me around when she's working out either.
Why?
I don't know. She says I'll be staring at her.
Are you staring at her?
No. I want to see that. The faces she's making.
Yeah.
The grunts that she's doing. Come on.
Well, I could see that it being uncomfortable. I make my husband work out with me. If he if he looks over at me, I'd be like, what are you doing? Nothing? Get up. Grab a pair of 15s. Let's go. But it's true. I feel like with the kids, they're always hogging the big TV. So to have some time on your own to be able to do what you want with the TV is a big deal.
Almost feels like being at the gym.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you do when your spouse isn't home?
Oh, I order sushi. He absolutely hates it and will never agree to eat it. So when he's gone, no matter what time of day, I order takeout sushi because I'm always craving it.
Oh, that's smart. That's genius.
Yeah, whenever mm-hmm. I'm not staying home, I tell my wife to make her chili or pasta fagioli because I don't want to eat either of them.
Oh.
And she loves them. So, you know what? Eat your fill.
Smart. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you do when your spouse isn't home?
I leave all the lights on in the house. She is one of those crazy people who just constantly are turning off the lights right behind me the second I leave a room. So I think it's like I do it out of freedom. I don't know. I just turn all the lights on and I walk around. I'm like, yes.
You know, it's fascinating.
It's very irresponsible to the environment, but I appreciate your rebellion, sir. I do. I understand what you're going for there.
When I was younger, I was a I want every light in my house on person. Mm-hmm. And as I've gotten older, I don't know what has happened to me, but I'm constantly turning off lights. And I don't know why. I don't know when I became that person.
Well, now you care more about Mother Earth. Or at least the electric bill.
I guess.
And Ann Raven, what do you do when you get the house alone?
Well, this is going to sound weird. I'm not ashamed about it. But I put the music as loud as I can, and I jump in the couch. If I'm upstairs, on the bed. Jump, jump, jump. Just crazy, air guitar, all of it. She hates when the music is loud.
So you jump on the bed like my toddler. I just can't imagine a grown man like being like, wife's out. All right, everybody, let's jump on the bed.
Well, it's really about control here. If she doesn't let him do it, it's not really about the activity itself. It's the fact that I'll do what I want. Look at me. I'm grown. But I'll just do it when you're not here.
What do you do with your precious alone time? Head to our Facebook page. Let us know there. And if you're not friends with us yet, just search for Anna and Raven. There are 5 things that you do every morning, and all they're doing is ruining your productivity for your day.
Really?
Yep. Raven, how many times have you heard the early bird gets the worm?
Many, many times. I've said it myself because now I'm getting old.
And they're saying right off the bat, it's like the number one thing you shouldn't do is forcing yourself to wake up too early.
Really?
Because, yeah, it doesn't really change your schedule or your productivity. I've actually found, you know, I get up at 3:40. We get up so early because
right.
our work. But on the weekends, I don't get up that early. If I don't set my alarm, I don't wake up until the baby starts crying. So that's like 7 o'clock, 7:10. Like, I don't even blink.
For a lot of people, that's still pretty early, though.
Well.
Right?
Yeah.
You know.
Not for me.
For me in the summertime, once the sun comes up, I'm basically like I'm awake.
So they're saying don't force yourself to get up too early. You can, if you have a good night's sleep, you're better off productivity-wise because you'll have more rest to be able to complete your tasks. Number two. Getting dressed. You can't stay in your sweatpants. Listen, pandemic. Listen. It was fun while it lasted, but they're saying that when you don't get dressed, it's telling your brain that you can stay in the same kind of sleepy mode that
right.
you're in and that it's not going to help you in your productivity. So go put
lazy.
On those jeans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number three is skipping breakfast and not drinking water. This is a big one. I used to do this all the time where I did it up until last week and then I got lazy. Where you wake up and the first thing you do is chug 8 ounces of water.
That's what Anna does. Anna is one of these water militant types, always with the water bottle. You can always tell if Anna is on the healthy kick because here in the studio, she will drink her water aggressively.
One day I was shopping at a sports place where they sell leggings and t-shirts and fitness apparel. And on the bag, it said, if you don't water a flower, it dies. What happens to you? And ever since I read that, it's like stuck with me.
Your mantra.
I have like an unnatural fear of dehydration at this point.
It's crazy.
But it's supposed to be really good for you and a good way to start your day.
I mean, I don't know. I would argue with those. To tell you the truth, like, listen, good night's sleep is always good. You want to be refreshed, but we simply don't get that. Like you said, I mean, waking up at 3:45, I find myself better off if I wake up 15 minutes earlier because the fog will burn off. You know what I mean? Sooner or later, I'll be more productive if I just get up earlier because I hate the anxiety of feeling like I didn't wake up early enough.
Well, that goes hand in hand with number four, the things, the mistakes that you're making in the morning to hinder your productivity is that if you start in a reactive mode instead of a proactive mode. Hmm. So if the first thing you do is like start panicking about the things you didn't finish the day before,
right?
Like check your email, responding to the emails you didn't respond to the night before, then right. You're already starting your day on the wrong foot. You're supposed to give yourself some time in the morning to collect your thoughts and make your things to-do list.
You see, that's why I just ignore emails.
And the last one is you don't prep the night before. So you have to make sure you pick out your outfit and all that in advance so you save your time in the morning. The number one thing you do, Raymond, in the morning for productivity?
Well, I would say, again, getting up early is important, but all my clothes are laid out beforehand. You know, I'm basically getting dressed in the dark by cell phone light in the hallway after that. I don't normally wake up till I'm an exit or two on the highway. I get my coffee and I make sure that I've got some fresh fruit that I throw in my bag. That's it.
I run up 3 flights of stairs to get here. So when I get to the top, I can't breathe, but I got myself the adrenaline rush for the day. That's the number one thing I do.
That would probably give me a heart attack.
Right. All right, let's be honest. A lot of times politicians don't agree on things, but this bill seems to have the support that can actually get it approved. And this Sunday, Raven, could be the last time that we spring forward daylight savings.
I mean, I don't know. They say this stuff from time to time. Could they really agree?
Well, turns out there's a lot behind it. So the whole reason why daylight savings even started in the first place was because back during World War I, it was part of Germany's effort to conserve fuel. When you think about it that way, you're like, well, I guess that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It really has nothing to do with farmers. You know, we always hear like, it's the farmers.
Right.
Farmers are like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Why would we do that over here in America, where we know how everything works the best?
So the bipartisan bill has been passed, had been introduced a lot of times. Now, there has been 15 states that have passed an initiative to lock in daylight savings and over a dozen that are like probably right behind to do the same thing. But you need the federal government to approve it to actually make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this guy. His name is Scott Yates. He's a writer and he's the inventor of the lock the clock movement. And he was asked about this. He was said, like, do you think that this is actually the year?
The first bill came 3 years ago and a lot of people didn't think anything of it and thought that nothing was going to happen. It came back last year and the year before and that bill did well. It had a lot of co-sponsors, but it didn't get too far through the process. I do think that this bill this year has a really good chance to pass and that states will be able to lock into what most people like, which is the idea of permanent daylight time.
It's the Sunshine Protection Act.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Is it just me or does it seem like he's only mentioning that bill and it got some support last year because it was literally the only thing that everybody could be in a room and be like, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, maybe.
But isn't that good? Isn't that good that we're going to do something?
It doesn't feel real to me. I got to be honest.
I hate daylight savings.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it.
Let's fall back, spring ahead. I don't know.
Right.
Well, so my daughter's birthday is this weekend. So it always falls on the weekend that we have to lose the hour.
Okay.
And whenever you have to host a party or you have an event, you're always afraid that people are going to forget that it's daylight savings and they're going to
show up
late.
An hour later. Right.
Everyone's
right,
tired if you try to have a morning event.
Yeah.
Forget
it's
it.
A terrible excuse nowadays, though. Your cell phone is updating automatically. So don't try and play me, people.
But
all
it's
right?
not even that. It's just a matter of like, you're tired, the kids are tired, the nap schedule.
Yeah.
If you're like me and you have a toddler, like all I keep thinking about is like, I need a plan. Like, I need a plan to survive nap time because of daylight savings.
But that's for you. It's not for everybody. Like, everybody else around you will naturally function throughout the day. Like, it's the same with the dogs. They know what time they eat. They know what time they get a milk bone or whatever. But I don't explain to them for a month that, I'm sorry, puppies, it's daylight savings time, and now you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. I mean, if it happened, that that'd be great, I guess.
So, all right, your prediction. Is this the actual year that it happens?
No.
Is this the last time
ahead?
No?
No.
I think it is.
No way.
I think it is. Mark my words. This is the last time we have to deal with this nonsense. Last time. We're coming together as a nation. It's a big day.
Well,
I'll see you, everybody.
I'll see you in 6 months when we're doing this all over again.
Okay. It's time for a miracle product review. We try things you see online and see if they work so you don't have to waste your money.
You'll be saying wow every time you use this
towel. This is my George Foreman feminized grill.
Call now. We'll give you a second set absolutely free.
If you were listening yesterday right around this time, we kept seeing those sauna sweatsuits that they sell online. And I saw them at Walmart and they were cheap. It was like $8 each. I'm like, is this really going to make me lose weight if I just wear it?
Remember their prime time, right? There was a time where you would see these commercials on TV and they would be like, I don't know, $30 a suit at least. Right. You know, I mean, it was kind of the thing. And every time I see somebody jogging with one or whatever, I think to myself, they must own a nice car, a beautiful television set, possibly a Rolex. Right. I thought to myself, these are items of frivolous nature that are only for the wealthy. But turns out you found it for $8.
Exactly. And we put them on and we said we were going to wear them from 24 hours for our full day. And we were going to exercise with them throughout the day. We're going to see, were we actually thinner by today? Did we feel healthier? Did we sweat out all our toxins? And it started like this after the show. The show's been over for a couple hours now. We've had our sweatsuits on for 6 hours. How are you feeling?
Swampy in my underwear. Very swampy.
I got to be honest with you. I took off my pants when I had to go to the bathroom before.
What? That's cheating.
Well, I wanted to see. And my legs, I didn't realize it, were sweating. And when I took it off, I got really cold.
Did you get skinnier? That's the question.
That I don't know just yet, but I thought we would do a quick workout before we headed home in our sweatsuits.
I can't believe you're wearing a trash bag and no pants.
Well, it was hot.
If you sit in the seat, you are going to peel your butt off of the seat when you get in your car.
Yeah. Okay, ready? Let's do some jump squats. Ready?
Okay.
Go, jump squats. Go, go. What are you doing? That's not a jump squat. Do you know what a jump squat is?
I guess not. Thought we were going with burpees. I don't remember.
I mean, you clearly have never worked out, but
yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. No.
But we were definitely sweaty, and our studio is actually very cold, so it kept me warm. I didn't mind it wearing it all day.
And actually settled in and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised you weren't still wearing it this morning.
So later on, Raven at home, he had to keep it on, and how did it go for him?
Okay, so I'm downstairs on the elliptical, but I'm on it. Still wearing the suit. Can't say that I feel like I've lost any weight, but one thing I could tell you is even though the suit doesn't breathe, it does retain smells.
What did you smell like, Raven?
Yeah, my wife made dinner, and all night I smelled chicken stir fry.
And it was like
I was encapsulated in chicken stir fry. It's like if you were an astronaut and somebody took a chicken stir fry packet and shoved it in your helmet right before they locked you down. And they were like, all right, go change that solar panel array.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just had to smell chicken stir fry for 8 hours while you were out there working with those gloves. That's how it felt.
I forgot I had a really important thing I had to do after work today.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe this was a mistake.
I'm sitting outside of my doctor's appointment. I have my annual checkup at my gynecologist, and I'm thinking that maybe we should not have had the Amazon product review of our sauna suits on the day that I had to do this. But here we go. Also, I am sweating profusely.
I felt so bad. I didn't have time to go home to shower when I realized it. My appointment was at 3:15 in the afternoon, and
yeah.
I'm like, oh my goodness.
That's a great show plan right there.
Oh, All right, long story short, did we sweat profusely? Yes.
Yes.
Do we feel skinnier and like our toxins came out today?
In no way,
no,
shape, or form.
Not at all. No.
I actually feel smellier than yesterday.
Yeah, me too. My daughter Hayden is 12 years old, and she has blackout blinds. She's had blackout blinds in her room since she was born because it helped her sleep when she was a baby, right?
Sure.
But now that she's 12, she does it to camp out in her bedroom as if she was a vampire and is afraid of the lights.
Yeah, that's a preteen and a teen thing, I think,
yep.
Right? There'll be tapestries up on the wall pretty soon. It'll be, like, unrecognizable.
So I have a rule that when she wakes up in the morning, the first thing she must do is open all the blinds.
Wow.
I want light in her room because it is daytime. So yesterday, I walk in. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was after school. I go, open the blinds. I go, you know that's a rule. And she goes, that's not a real rule. Other kids don't have that rule. And I said,
this is my house.
Right.
And in my house, we open the blinds because we let sunlight in.
I get it. I get it. Right.
And that's when I knew I was my mom. Yep.
Yeah, weird rules are like that, though. Sometimes they're based in what happens in that house or in that family or like the structure of the family or like geologics or whatever. So I remember this. Geography, rather. Excuse me. I remember growing up, my parents would always say, you could go. So I lived in a condo complex at the time. You could play anywhere on the street. It was a long street, but you had to be between the bottom dumpster and the upper dumpster because there was a dumpster at the top of the hill and the bottom of the hill. And then, of course, there was a curve past those dumpsters. You couldn't see anything past those dumpsters. Out on the horizon, two beautiful, large, smelly in the summer, dumpsters.
Wow, beautiful dumpsters.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was your play area.
Yeah, yeah. As long as I was within those two areas, it was good. My life was a world of junk, actually, come to think of it.
I had a lot of rules growing up when I was a kid. I remember the big one was that if I wanted to go see a movie, remember every weekend you go see the movie with your friends, right?
Sure.
I had to dust and clean my brother's room and my sister's room. That was the rule. You want to go see the movie? You want the money? You want mommy to drop you off and pick you up? Then you have to clean your brother's room and your sister's room. And now I look back, I'm like, that was so not fair.
Like, right? What did your brother and sister have to do?
Nothing. It's because I was the oldest. What was the weird rule in your house growing up? 1-800-330-9999. If you're a parent, what's the weird rule that you have now? Anna and Raven.
So in my house growing up, we were not allowed to use the word hate. I hate this or I hate that.
That's a good rule. I don't like that word either.
Right. My mom would always say that's a very strong word.
I always say you dislike something, but hate is really strong.
Right. Hate means like I'm plotting against you.
Best part of parenting is that you don't really have to defend your decisions to your children. You just say, and I said so, and that's the end of it, right?
That is true.
Yeah. So what kind of strange rules did you have when you were a child that your parents made up? Or if you're an adult and you're a parent, what weird rules do you have for your kids? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Tiana and Raven.
We weren't allowed to watch The Simpsons growing up. It wasn't because of the language or anything. My mom just didn't like Bart's attitude and how he treated people.
I get that. Not so much The Simpsons, but my husband always complains that he was never allowed to watch Married with Children because he didn't. His mom, my mother-in-law, didn't like the way Peggy Bundy portrayed moms.
Yeah.
Because she would smoke cigarettes.
Right.
Yeah.
And be, well, other things.
Yeah.
Peggy Bundy was many things. I kind of get that, you know? I mean, there is a wise Alec angle, of course, to everything with the humor in The Simpsons. Family Guy, too.
Yeah.
It's a bit much for your little one.
Family Guy and The Simpsons, I would argue, are very different shows. Like, I would let my kids watch The Simpsons. I wouldn't let my kids watch Family Guy. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was the weird rule your parent had when you were growing up?
When I was in first grade, I fell off the Jungle Gym because I was wearing my mittens. And after that, my mother would never let me wear mittens or gloves again.
Right. Sub-zero temperatures, wind chill out there. At the bus stop for like 45 minutes because, you know, nobody cared back then. You were still going to the bus stop. Never allowed mittens again.
Nope.
That sounds like something I would do as a helicopter mom, to be honest. And on Raven, what did you do? What was your parents' rule? What was your parenting rule that was weird?
Well, it started when I was a kid, and I always thought it was weird, but I still use it with my kids. My kids are not allowed to refer to my husband and myself as he or she. Like, if we're talking, especially if they're angry with us, they're not allowed to say, well, he said or she said. I'll always, it's like taboo with me. I'll turn around and I'll say, who's he or who's she? For some reason, that it still bothers me to this day, and I thought it was weird when I was growing up.
Huh. That's
You're
interesting.
Quirky. That's funny.
Yeah.
Isn't that so odd? Like, yeah. Like my husband will be fighting with my 11-year-old and she'll be like, well, he said. And I'm like, well, who's he?
But I do the same thing, too. When I refer, even when I refer to myself, like mommy, I always talk about myself. Was it the third person? Third person. Why do I do that?
You sound larger. You sound bigger when you do that.
So strange.
Right. You sound more stately.
Yeah.
Regal. Like the title brings you some respect.
Right.
Which we all know doesn't.
Right. Exactly. Thank you for the call. Right. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was your weird parenting rule?
Well, when I was growing up, while we were eating dinner, we weren't allowed to drink anything. We had that drink right in front of us, but we weren't allowed to drink anything while we were eating dinner because my parents were afraid we'd fill up on fluid rather than food.
Okay. That is weird.
That is weird.
It's a little weird.
Yeah,
it's a
little weird. And then if we were choking or something, you had to ask permission to take a drink of our drink.
How do you ask for
really hard
when you're choking?
Right.
Well, he just wasn't polite enough to save his own life. Thank you for the call.
And on Raven, what was your unique parenting rule, or strange, I should say?
I grew up the youngest out of five,
siblings, and my parents always made us kiss each other goodnight and never go to bed angry. That was a very big rule.
Oh, I love that. But I think that's so sweet.
As long as your brother ain't got stank breath.
Yeah.
It's weird when you're like 17 and 24, though.
Right. Yeah. Right. All right. I'm going to bed now.
All right. My daughter was giving me a hard time because I have a rule. She has blackout shades in her room from when she was a baby. Hmm. And when she wakes up, you got to open the blinds. She stays in the dark all day long. It's like a vampire in there.
Yeah, yeah. Teenagers will like that coffin effect. Yep. Pretty soon you'll have band tapestries and everything.
And she said to me, that's not a real rule. And I said, yes, it's a real rule in this house anyway. When you wake up, you open your blinds. What is the weird rule that you had growing up that your parents gave you? Or what's the rule as a parent you've given your kid that they think is strange? 1-800-330-9999.
No boys upstairs. So if I had a boy over, we had to stay downstairs in the house. Sometimes my parents would go to bed and it was okay for like a boy to be there as long as we were downstairs. And it just didn't really make sense to me.
At least you had to have a boy over at all. I wasn't allowed to bring a boy to hang out at my house until I was introducing my now husband to them. And I was certain that he would be the one that I married.
I was going to say, there was nothing weird about the downstairs rule. Everybody knows, boys on this floor.
Right.
The same floor as dad and nowhere else.
And also, that remained true for me even when we were engaged. And I'm pretty sure after we got married, it was still a conversation. Like, hey, guys, it's okay if we both sleep in my room. They're like, yeah, all right. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the weird rule your parents had when you were growing up?
Well, there were certain plates, cups, and mugs that only my parents could use. You know, it wasn't until they, it wasn't that they were afraid to break them. But I'd break them. They just didn't want me to use them. I was 17 and I still couldn't, right? And I'm not sure, you know, if I went there tonight that I could drink out of my dad's 1987 giant Super Bowl mug.
And they love those cups more than they love you. I mean, that's your favorite cups. Your dad says, nope, the beer stein comes before my firstborn. That's what he says.
That's so funny that they didn't let you use certain plates, right?
Right,
so
it's my
weird.
Favorite plate.
I mean, when you're a little kid.
I never broke one thing.
Yeah, like, like I don't give Dakota, my 2-year-old, real glass plates, but, I mean, eventually when she's older, she'll get to use them.
This is 1986 Giants, all right? This is rare stuff.
Are you very clumsy? Just be honest.
I never broke one piece. I never broke anything.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the weird rule your parent had when you were growing up?
My mom never let me wear headphones on long drives, especially when I got old enough to sit in the front seat. Even if it were a really long drive, if we hadn't spoken to each other in like 20 minutes, she thought that was rude.
Oh, wow. That is an interesting weird rule.
That's one of those times where you wish you could have gave your mom an iPhone.
I say it all the time, though, to my daughter, Hayden, like when she gets after school at school pickup, I'm like, tell me about your day. Tell me every single thing that happened. And I want her to talk to me the whole way home because I just feel like otherwise she just buries her head in her phone and that's the end of it.
Right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was that weird rule your parents had when you were growing up?
My dad told me and my sisters that there was this town law that said only every other house on the street could own a dog. Both our neighbors had dogs. We couldn't. It was senior year in high school when I mentioned it to a teacher that I learned it wasn't true.
Wait a minute. So every other house could have a dog. So because your neighbors already beat you to it, then you couldn't get your own pet.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that is hilarious. Imagine your teacher when you mentioned it to her and her being like, what are you talking about?
Oh, she thought I was crazy.
I mean, hilarious in the fact that it was crafty, but I hate you, Dad. I hate you now and forever. That's sad.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they tell us what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Ray and Daisy. Daisy, let's start with you. What's going on?
Well, our daughter is engaged, which is amazing, and we're very excited, and we love him. But recently, she's been having some issues with him. They've been fighting. My opinion, we just need to let them work it out, make their own decisions. We shouldn't butt in because it's their decision. You know, it could just be nerves. It could be COVID. It could be so many things. My husband disagrees with me.
So you're saying that they're having problems in the relationship and questioning whether they should get married?
Yeah, they're having trouble. They're fighting a lot.
Ray, what do you think about this?
All right. Well, I mean, this isn't an argument. She's 23. He's 26, and all they've been doing is fighting and fight. Now, great, I get it. Yeah, it is possible that it's nerves. That absolutely makes perfect sense to me. But if they're going to be getting married in 6 months, and we don't jump in and intervene, then it's literally going to implode within the first 30 days. Like, you need to work out everything before you get married, or it's too late. It's literally too late.
So, Ray, you want an intervention?
Okay, maybe I shouldn't use the word intervention. Let's just call it a conversation. And if that conversation turns into an intervention, so be it. But we got to clear intervention.
Well, I mean, it's not like the last year has been, you know, cake. This isn't a regular, oh, we're just planning for a wedding and sometimes we get cold feet or stressed. I mean, if you're living together or surviving during these pandemic times, it's been more stressful for everybody. Is it fair to say that these fights are more serious in nature, Daisy, that you don't think they're going to dissipate? Or are they just bickering over little things that don't actually mean a lot?
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's very stressful. You know, everything is stressful. And then plan a wedding on top of it.
Yeah.
You're going to fight. You're going to argue. That's all this is. And I think we need to just let them do it.
And our audience may agree with you, Daisy, that she's an adult. She made the decision to marry him and then she needs to figure this out on her own. She doesn't need mommy and daddy butting in. But they may see Ray's side too. If you do have an intervention with them and say it's okay if you want to postpone or you want to work through this, maybe it's going to give them the security they need to make a decision without worrying about what's going to happen with the rest of the family and how it's going to be perceived.
Right. Could save you time and money for both of them. They might not be appreciative that afternoon, but they might be later on. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's so tough. You know, you want to be a parent. You want to help your kids no matter how old they are. But sometimes you don't know when you need to speak up or just be quiet, to be honest. That's what's going on with Ray and Daisy. Their 23-year-old daughter is engaged to be married. She confided in mom that things have been rough and they've been fighting a lot. So she tells Ray, and Ray says, it's time for an intervention. We'll sit them down. We'll say they can call off the wedding. No worries.
I mean, some couples say that they never fight. I mean, it's been my experience. Couples fight, right? They bicker. And when you're planning for a wedding, it's very stressful. It's a great time, but it's emotional and it's stressful. Now, put a pandemic on top of that. Put lockdown in that. And then consider the fact that you're still together and you're both alive. I mean, you're probably doing better than you think.
Right. Well, that's what Daisy says. Daisy says we need to just keep our mouth shut, keep our ears open, and we just need to support her while she makes her own decisions. But clearly, Ray is not on the same page. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Couples Court.
I agree with the husband. It's a lifelong decision. Marriage is filled with stress and hard times. And if you can't work through it before you get married, what hope do you have of working through it once you're married? Walking away when you're engaged is probably one of the hardest things that you can ever do in your life. So whether your parents or friends, step in and give them permission to postpone or cancel.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven. It's a parenting dilemma, that's for sure. You always want to be there for your kids, but knowing when you're crossing the line, it's a hard thing to figure out. Ray and Daisy's 23-year-old daughter told Daisy that she's having a hard time with her fiancé. They've been arguing a lot. She confided in her. Ray says, great, let's have an intervention. Let's tell them not to make a mistake and get married.
It would seem that an overeager parent that's ready to get involved would almost be like, I'm not interested in this relationship moving forward. You'd be playing a dangerous game if you thought that your kid might think that on the backside. On the other hand, it's the toughest thing ever to watch your kids make mistakes that maybe could have been avoided.
Yeah, but Daisy says we can't get involved. We got to let them make their own decisions. They're adults. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court?
Definitely the dad. If they are fighting now and it's not resolved, they get married and they get to a marriage with that, it's a divorce.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the mom's side. They need to stay out of it. There are professionals to help people deal with these problems. They should go see a couple therapists and help them have the tools on their own. Otherwise, this could blow up in their faces and they'll be blamed for.
That would be my biggest fear. Thank you for the call.
Thank you for the call. I think that makes a lot of sense, right? Call a professional when you don't know what to do. Therapists, there's nothing wrong with talking to a therapist, even before you're married. Couples sometimes look at that as a stigma, like, oh, well, that means we're in trouble. It doesn't mean you're in trouble. It just means you're working on stuff.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
Oh, I'm on his side. Weddings are really expensive, but you know what's more expensive? Divorce. Talk to them and, you know, give them that out.
I am so torn on this.
I'm not really sure what I think.
Yeah, giving somebody the out is good. You want them to feel like you're not pressuring them to keep on marching down that aisle. At the same time, that maybe they think of you now as the one who put the crack in the relationship, saying, wait, you might not make it.
This seems like one of those things that you're never going to win no matter what you do.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Ray, our audience agreed with you. Daisy, your daughter, because she's coming to you, people felt that maybe just having a... maybe not sitting them both down like a real intervention, but just saying to your daughter together, we love you, and if you think that there's any problem or any doubt in your mind, like, we're here to support you in whatever you choose to do, that's not such a bad idea.
But she knows that she's supported. I don't think we need to butt in. I disagree. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't
think... Honey, the people have spoken. The people have spoken.
You're right.
We live in a democracy, and the democracy has said that I'm right. So, cool. We'll set this up this week. Thank you.
Okay.
I don't have a choice.
I guess you don't. I'm sorry. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
This is Jason, and I'm here with Jack.
Jason and Jack. Hey, Jack! Guys, you're going to play. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, leave the room now.
Good luck. You know, I was going to be nice, but now I'm just going to destroy you guys.
All right, Jason and Jack. All right, guys, we got $300 on the line. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you beat him, we'll give you $300. You ready to play?
Ready as I can be.
All right. Number one, Adele is officially the best-selling female artist of the 21st century in the UK. What has Adele named all her albums after?
Her age.
Number two, Jenny J. Wow Farley announced her engagement to boyfriend Zach Clayton Carpinello. What MTV reality show did J. Wow star in, launching her career back in 2009?
Jersey Shore.
Number three, there is talk of a Blossom reboot in the works. Mayim Bialik's best friend on the show had a name that was a number. What was her name?
6.
Number 4, Blinding Lights by The Weeknd is the first song to spend an entire year in the top 10 Billboard charts, but it didn't get a Grammy nomination. What's the name of the album that Blinding Lights is on?
Any idea, Jack? Blinding Lights, the album.
And number 5, William Shatner turns 90 years old on the 22nd, and he's reportedly having a party on a replica of the Enterprise. The Enterprise is a starship from what franchise?
Star Trek.
Not bad, Jason and Jack. Not bad at all. Let's see how Raven does. Let's see.
All right.
Jason and Jack got 4 out of 5.
Wow. Pretty good, guys.
All right.
Let's see how I do.
Number one, Adele is officially the best-selling female artist of the 21st century in the UK.
Okay.
What has Adele named all her albums after?
Her age. It's always her age.
Yes. Number two, Jenny J. Wow Farley announced her engagement to boyfriend Zach Clayton Carpinello. What MTV reality show did JWoww star in, launching her career in 2009?
It's an easy one, Jersey Shore.
Yep. Number three, there's talks of a Blossom reboot in the works. Mayim Bialik's best friend on the show had a name that was a number. What was her name?
6.
6 is correct.
That's right.
Number four, Blinding Lights by The Weeknd is the first song to spend an entire year in the top 10 Billboard charts, but it didn't get a Grammy nomination. What's the name of the album that Blinding Lights is on?
It's After Hours.
Yep.
Yeah, that whole thing, there's a little controversy there.
Yep. And number five, William Shatner turns 90 years old on the 22nd, and he's reportedly having a party on a replica of the Enterprise. The Enterprise is a starship from what franchise?
Come on, Star Trek.
I'm sorry, guys. Raven beat you 5-4 this morning.
Was a good game.
Yeah, that was a close one.
Very close, Jack.
But next we'll time,
do,
Jack.
Yeah, we're going to get you guys an Anna and Raven t-shirt, though. Sound good?
Yeah, all right. Jason, can't beat Raven.
All right, hold on the line.
Better luck next time, guys.
All right, we put another $100 in the jackpot. That means tomorrow morning you'll have your chance at $400, same time.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.